the channels because none of them are open.
Yes.
But I need to give both of their okays. So if I ask her, she's going to ask Johnny. If I ask Johnny,
bonjour tout le monde. Bonjour. Bienvenue encore ce matin.
We do not have too much time. We have only an hour today. We are going to try to work as fast as possible. Oh, now we have 2 hours. Somebody just told me 2 hours. Thank God there are two presidents. We will get started without. We're going to start our capacity building session. This is the fifth this morning, and it is about the participation, the public participation and communication. We have today the honor today to have Phyllis with us. Phyllis Yelsman, who is the director, senior director of participation and engagement and commitment. We have Scott Pilsen, he's director of marketing and assistance and support, I guess. And we will have Mandy Carvey next, who is the director. She is a Global Partnership Assistant Director. Thank you all for being with us today. We will let you talk, Phyllis.
Fatimata.
Thank you, Fatima. Merci, Fatima.
So, good morning, everyone. I know these are very early meetings. I can meetings start early and tend to finish late. I'm sure you're realizing that now. I'm really happy to be here. Before I start, I'll just talk about myself a little so you know where I'm coming from and how I found myself in this community. I'm originally from Turkey. I always worked with internet, let me put it that way, since I graduated from the university at the time in Ankara, Middle East Technical University. I studied mathematics at the time, and this was a bit long time ago. And I didn't... he's smiling here. I was educated, or you know, throughout my mathematics studies, I focused on applied mathematics at the time. Yes, it was the thing to do by then, and I was able to program in 7 different languages. And when I graduated, I went out and started looking for a job, and came out that it was the time internet was starting, you know, being known or being, there was an effort from my university trying to get internet established more widely within my country. And you know how educational institutions often lead in these things, and again, it is no surprise the university took the job of bringing the internet to Turkey, and I'm very honored to be part of that team from those times. So that was my first interaction with internet, and as soon as I found out that, oh, this is a good thing, this is not just a toy, it can be used, you know, in a very good way. Things passed, you know, it has been some time, and now we find ourselves that this is a business now. This is why we are all here. We have such a crowded ICANN meeting. We are all parts of this internet ecosystem one way or the other. And as a professional, I use the technology for my work through my, you know, educational programs, which happen through all my working life. And as a user like you are, it is a utility now. We use it to pay bills. We use it to connect with other people. I live away from my parents. I'm on Skype all the time, not only for professional reasons, but also to talk to my loved ones. So it is very much in our lives. It is affecting us the way it works. So and that is my internet. This is my understanding of internet, where it connects people in so many different levels. So I think I'm lucky enough to find myself here. I'm lucky enough to have worked through this, you know, historical career path, if you would like to call it that way, coming from an educational side, coming from an academic side, and finding myself in a communications area, because I like this thing. I understand the technology to some extent, and I was always in the middle, trying to explain it to maybe not so technical minded people, and also the other way around, because it is often a problem, you know, to translate the, excuse my language for engineers here, the geek word into human processable language. So it is both ways. In that regards, my current position at ICANN, and I started only a year ago, and I shouldn't say only. That's almost, you know, that's ages in ICANN years, I think. So before that, I worked for a regional internet registry, which is, some of you may know, it deals with IP addressing, IP address management, and it was a regional organization which looks after Europe and parts of Asia. You may be familiar maybe with AFRINIC, so I worked for the European version of AFRINIC at the time. For about 10 years. So I know the strength of the community, and I know it's very important that you need to build capacity within your community to sustain that community and get people going and feed back to your mission as coordination organizations such as ICANN. So I'm happy to be here with you guys today. Even though so early for everybody, to have a chance to talk to you and have this interaction. So, participation and engagement, this is the area that I want to talk about, and they are interlinked as we've been introduced with communications and outreach. So, I hope I will make a start, and hopefully Scott will continue filling gaps and you have a whole picture of the whole thing. Can we skip? So what are our goals, or my goals, and as a whole, you will see in this series, I think, in this team this morning, what we are trying to do. It is very important when we talk about this internet, the way I saw it a minute ago, it is nothing without people being part of it, really. So you talk about participation, it's already in the name of the function or the area. We are working horizontally and vertically, and I will try to explain what this means. When you talk about participation, you often refer to the numbers of people, increasing quantitatively the size of your community, so you get more feedback, you get more ideas, you get more inclusion, and this can be quantitative, that's true. But then you when you talk about engagement, there are different levels of engagement, and this is more about how much you are interested about the issue, or how much a participant can devote time. You can be a participant as an observer, just to make sure that you are up to date with the developments, or you can go beyond that and you become a leader, like we have Gianni and Fatima here. So this is the level of engagement as an individual you need to decide on how you are going to contribute to this internet ecosystem and internet community that you are part of. My job is to make it easier for you, and this is why we are again here to show you the tools, how you can make that decision, how you can use the tools to make that decision. So it's an interesting thing. Is while we always talk about more people, but we also make sure that the ideas discussed, the discussions within that community and the people we bring together, they're also well-informed, they're also well-educated, and they are for a purpose, they are focused. So this is what we call about, I think the theme of engagement fits in there. I hope this is clear for you, because I often get this question of, participation and engagement. So what exactly is the difference? And this is how I see it. It's a two-dimensional thing. So if you're a mathematician, again, like me, like to think in terms of images or analytics, you could see it as an X and Y axis of the whole, team. So there is the element of community building definitely within this part, and this is what you're doing, and this is already a self-organized, to some extent, grassroots operation, what you're dealing with here. We do have programs about these two in that direction. But we are very happy that groups are coming together and forming up their own solutions in one way or the other for their own special needs too. Matt, can we skip? There should be a graph there. Can you click again? Maybe it has the... No. Okay. Okay, so remote participation is one tool we use to increase that quantitative theme I was talking about, how to increase participation and make it more wider. What we are doing often, here we are, we have this opportunity, we came all down here, we got the time, obviously, we got the funding somehow, we found the place, and this is very effective, face-to-face communication. I look in the eye to you, you look at me, and we have this conversation. However, for any reason, it may be the case that some of us are not here, or you may not be here in person the next time. What we want to make sure is that... we use the opportunities of internet today. I just gave you the example the other day. Maybe some of you were there. Like, again, when I started with this internet thing at the time, I used to give trainings and going out there and trying to explain, this is a good thing. Look, you can send a mail. Or you can have a website and you can, display the information about your business on your website. And I used to get these questions like, email, why? I'm going to fax information, fax was the thing by then. Email didn't click at the time, it took some time. And then the websites, again, people didn't feel like that was needed. Who would use that? Because it wasn't, fully mesh yet. It wasn't that popular. But we moved on from that a lot now. Now, if you're looking for a company, I'm sure I'm not alone here. If you don't see a website, you don't take them seriously, right? You think like, okay, they're lacking a bit here. Let me think about that again. Again, that seriousness of business. So internet really has grown a lot and brought us lots of opportunities. And what we are seeing nowadays, while we are talking about or discussing internet, we find ourselves like, okay, why not use it? this is where it is coming from. Remote participation tools are now so out there, they are so available, it would be very not wise to use these tools to bring more people in who couldn't be in the room on that very day for any reason. So we are using conferencing tools. At the moment, what you're doing again, I'm sure you have been seeing the examples of this throughout the meeting, but Matt managing those tools for you and making it easy for you to interact with the others out there. These are very important tools for us. If Matt can... As Matt is working on loading that graph, I'll talk to you about this. We are using two kinds of remote participation tools, let me put it that way. We have a full-on conferencing tool for those people who have, to some extent, have a high-speed, let me put it that way, high-speed internet connection, and that doesn't need to be that high, to be honest with you. 512 kilobits I'm talking about. Then you can fire up a link on your browser, and it will bring all the video, the chat room, the presentation, the Skype feed in front of you. Matt has an example of this already. Maybe he can show us when he's done with the graph loading. And then we have the low bandwidth services, because this is also very important to acknowledge that it's not even yet. While, you know, internet is growing everywhere, there are different parts of the world using different technologies, and it's getting more and more better in terms of both bandwidth and the different tools and applications, there are still some areas which needs a serious low bandwidth access. So for those people, we like to provide a modular approach, so you will not overkill your bandwidth but trying to load something full on, but you can choose, okay, I will just listen to the audio, or I will just look at Skype feed. Those are provided through different links. So what I'm trying to say here, we try to maximize access to our meeting tools and to our meetings, which are our main discussion platforms among ICANN community. We are trying to maximize both in terms of opportunity and as well as the access, you know, providing participants different tools. And when I talk about giving opportunity, please note that all the major, I mean, this depends on how a particular session is organized or requested. But for example, the really public sessions that I am leading, public forum, for example, we put up a system that anybody who can walk to the mic will have the same opportunity as much as those people miles away and connecting to the meeting virtually. Because I will be there monitoring the chat room, and if there is a question they want to raise, I go to the mic, read their name and read their comment and question on behalf of them. So this is a kind of maximizing the access and making it equal for everybody, remote or in person here in the meeting, giving the same opportunity, going to the mic and putting up forward what they want to say. So I think this is very important to use these tools. And I know that different internet groups are using now these tools in different ways. So we are, I'll speed up. So the graph is there. Just a tiny note before we move on. They are very, very popular, these things. As you can see, since Sydney, we have been providing these tools. Our access to these systems have increased tremendously. You see a peak for Nairobi there. because a lot of people couldn't attend in person. There was some problems getting there at the time. This is why there was a peak. But I'm expecting good numbers from this meeting too, and I will share them with you guys when the meeting is over. Yes. Next, please. So what we have, what I want to talk to you about, the other stuff, is the newcomers program. Most of you should know about this. We run a newcomers launch. They are operating from Sunday to Wednesday. And their job is there to help and mentor and guide the newcomers. While we are saying newcomers, it's open for everybody, but the focus is, of course, in newcomers. We want to make sure that the new ones who just came to an ICANN meeting, they make the best out of this week. And when they leave, they leave with good experience, because we need this new blood, obviously. This is a capacity building part of the whole issue. So if you have time, please go and chat with the other newcomers that you can find around that area. They are just by the door in front of the registration. Similarly, we run a newcomers track on Sunday, giving an orientation session to all the newcomers of the ICANN meeting. Obviously, this is not mandatory. We make calls, and if you can help us when you get back about these programs to spread the word, if you have a colleague next time bringing here, let us know, and they should be part of this orientation day on Sunday. We have been only doing this for the last three meetings, so I had to work really hard to spread the word, and I'm relying on you that you will, you know, bring it forward, and that these efforts are going to be used to the most possible extent by the participants. Next, please. Matt? Oh, getting there. All right. And the last thing I want to mention is when you're talking about public input and public participation, please note that ICANN is a bottom-up multi-stakeholder model. Is bearing that model, and this is our communication way. The policies and all these guidelines, documentations are built through some well-defined PDP processes, and the last token of this is the public comments. Just a very shortly to describe what it's about. Every group that you see, GNSO, CCNSO, ASO, I know the abbreviations might not be making sense, but these three are the main policy-making bodies. They make policies about generic names, country code names, and the address space organization. So they deal with addresses. And when they make policies within each other, within their groups, the next thing they have to do before it goes out there and becomes in effect or approved, it needs the wider community input. So GNSO coming up with a policy development process and making a proposal and saying, among us, we are good and we want to go forward with this. First, they need to take the opinion of the entire community, not only their group. This is where public comments get into place, and this is your tool to put forward your word on those matters that you are not maybe involved totally from the bottom, but with your helicopter or holistic view, and put your feedback if it is good for you or not. And people often, ALAC is very good with that. I know being part of this group, you are already going through that. So the next slide, please. This is my last. Yes. If you want to keep more informed, the best way I would suggest is to read the policy update, monthly policy update. You can find information there. Public comment web pages are useful to follow up on what's going on. And subscribe to the news alerts. And if you see any problems, if you have any feedback, suggestions, you can find me at participate@ICANN.org or with my through my email, personal email address. Okay? Thank you.
Merci beaucoup, Félix. Thank you very much, Felice. I know we don't have much time, but maybe there's a question here. Very quickly, please. Go ahead, Dave.
Very good. I want to commend the work done by the remote participation team, especially right now we are having video streaming, which is really interesting for people who want to participate. However, I would request if your team can think about mobile users. For since in Africa we have more mobile users than landline internet users, so if you can work on a process so that people from mobile users are able to participate actively. Thank you.
Can I just quickly answer that very quickly?
Yes,
and there is a mobile component of Adobe Connect. I should have mentioned that on my slides, but yeah, I will send it to this group, the right link, and I have to find that, and we can talk about about further improvements with you. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much, Felice. Sans plus tarder, on va donner...
Without further ado, I'm going to have Scott, who's going to take the floor. Scott?
I'm honored to be here. And thank you to Tijani and Fatimata for their gracious invitation to speak to you. I want to talk to you about what ICANN's communications team does. I am the Director of Marketing and Outreach for ICANN, and unusually for an organization that began in 1998, I am the first Director of Marketing and Outreach. People thought it's a nonprofit organization that coordinates the domain space. Why do we need marketers? Marketers are those people who lie to you and say, buy this razor blade and everyone will love you. So why would ICANN need that? Well, that's, I hope, not what we're doing. Marketers are also very intent on helping an audience understand the virtues of the product they represent. So let me show you on the next slide. Instead of boring you with a, you know, our big 14-page strategy or whatever, very simply, let's pretend this is an ICANN working group. And everyone is discussing the issue that they're supposed to be working on, and they're trying to find ways to reach consensus. It's great, but as you'll notice, there's no one facing outward. Everyone is all in the group, in the issue, trying to sort it out. So on the next slide, you'll see a little guy on the outside who's trying to understand what's going on in this group. One more click, Matt. And maybe he's not there. There he is. And perhaps you feel a little bit like him. You know, you come to ICANN and everyone is talking in initials. You know, they're talking about IRTP and PEDNR and new GTLDs and IDNs. So simply put, what we do in the communications department is we are the people who try to face outward, you know, hear what the group is doing, then turn, as on the next slide, and become sort of the megaphone for ICANN to help the world hear ICANN, not only just the fact that it exists, but also understanding the issues. One more click, please. There he is. So, I mean, that's it in a nutshell. We're the ones that try to help newcomers understand, and those who would be involved if they knew about ICANN become aware of ICANN. On the next slide, as a kind of secondary goal, we're also trying to make the communications from ICANN seem more professional. We like to remind ourselves as we do our work about the four C's. In other words, words that begin with C. Clear, concise, colorful, creative. That's what we're hoping for. So here are some examples of what we've done. On the next slide, this is what ICANN's homepage looked like 2 years ago. And, you know, it looks professional enough, but it's all text. There's nothing there to indicate that the work of ICANN actually affects people. And it's a little difficult to read. But once the communications department got established, if you look on the next slide, this is how the homepage looks now. There are faces, there are people. The columns are a width that you can read. In the upper right-hand corner, you see icons that lead you to social media, such as Twitter and Flickr and video, things that were not present 2 years ago. Another example of a website on the next page, this is what the area of the site that handled new GTLDs looked like just a year ago. Again, lots of text, enormous buttons, not particularly easy to find your way. On the next slide, it shows what it looks like now. And not only, again, faces, color, you can actually navigate your way to answers to frequently asked questions, fact sheets. These are in six languages, including French. So we're just making every effort to make sure that those who want to understand can find what they're looking for. Same idea on the next slide, only these are diagrams now. This is the diagram of how the GNSO is structured, again, from 2 years ago. On the next slide, this is the same information, but it's conveyed in a way that we hope is a little more appealing. It's easier to grasp how many votes come from each stakeholder group and each constituency. So these are the kinds of things we do. The next slide, we introduce podcasts to ICANN. If you are new to ICANN, this podcast is called ICANN Start because it helps you get oriented. It covers the basics of issues. So if you like to listen to audio when you exercise or when you are riding in a car or on a train, whatever, you might try this. It's available from our website. In many countries, it's also in iTunes. And last example, I believe, we have started creating videos. You know, not everyone wants to read a big, long document. They would rather watch a summary of it. This particular example comes from a video that gives you an overview of the new GTLD program in about 6.5 minutes in French. And you can find it at newgtlds.icann.org. So I thought the easiest way to explain what we do was to show examples such as those, and that's pretty much it. What I would love to know is what you feel is missing or what we could produce as a team that would help your learning. On the last slide there, please let me know. I've put my email address up there, scott.pinzon@icann.org. Would love to know your experiences and how we can help you get assimilated with ICANN. Thank you very much.
Merci beaucoup, Scott.
Thank you, Scott. It was short, very clear, and thanks again. Thank you. Does anybody have a question quickly for Scott? DJ Yowie. Thank you for this presentation. I have a little concern. It's very well done, but it works for those who are already connected, those who know that ICANN exists, those can have the information. It could be easier for them. But those who don't know that ICANN actually exists, what are the ways to go towards this. Here we have tried to, we're trying to find the participation of the final users. I don't know if you know the numbers, but there are 2 billions. What is that we are, what is the percentage of those who know that I can actually exist? And how do we bring the others to find out that it exists and that they can actually participate?
Part of our challenge is that the communications department has only existed for 1 year. So we definitely are trying to move towards the goal you describe. One of the things that we're engaged in right now is a worldwide campaign to help everyone become aware of ICANN and of new generic top-level domains. Since June, people from ICANN have gone to 35 cities in 20 countries, putting on events to try to help people find out about us. We have much more to come. The board is supposed to vote on a budget for outreach here in Dakar, and I'm hoping that there will be a sum of money packed in there that will enable us to do things like radio and signage and mass media in addition to this face-to-face stuff. So we are catching up as rapidly as we can.
Thank you. Thank you again, Scott. Yes, Yaovi?
Monose Yaovi, merci beaucoup.
Thank you. I don't know if this is the final version of the site, because when I come on the first page, front page of the site, I do not see any link to go to French, for example, or these are other basic languages. That's one of my concern, because if I go back and I give the link to different people, I say, this is the site for ICANN. They go on it, and they see everything is in English. I don't know if there are other languages used on the front page. Is it planned that there would be at least the front page, at least that would have their own language? My second comment, maybe starting today, we can think that in 200 years, people will all speak the same language, but right now we have to translate a little bit. It's a problem when we have to translate a conference in different languages. We can lose a lot of time. It's not our duty, but we need to think about it. Maybe in 200 years, everybody should be speaking the same language. Thank you.
We are working hard on a complete revision of ICANN.org. I believe you will see it in February. In November, we will be putting on a webinar to show you where our work is so far in revising ICANN.org, and we'll be asking for community input. But it will have links to 5 more languages on the homepage. And to a point that Dave made earlier, it will have very robust support for mobile phones, all models, from, you know, not just the latest wonderful smartphone, but also older models that sometimes is what new users are coming onto the internet with. We believe, from information we've seen, that by 2015, there will be more phones connected to the internet than computers. So we're working towards the mobile phones. But I should also add that translation remains an ongoing struggle for ICANN. We translate millions of words a year, and it still represents 20 to 30% of all the content. So we're trying. We still have a ways to go. Requires improvement, but we're working on it.
Merci, Scott.
Thank you, Scott. I'm Sophia. I think as an ALS, it's a suggestion for the marketing management. we could be a link between ICANN and our country. In certain countries, direct communication, aside of the technology means, maybe we should work at a communication means that we can have as ALS. We could other means. We could make the ICANN known better in our countries.
Et d'ailleurs.
Thanks, Sophia. It's a good suggestion. As Google is trying to do it in our countries, the content is translated in local languages to facilitate communication. Like here in Senegal, some is translated in Wolof. For example, there is one Google page in Wolof language. And with the communication, we'll talk about it in the debate later. There are a lot of things that we can still do by communicating with those who don't even use the internet, those who can't even read or write, and can are still users in a way of the internet. Because more and more television will be numerical, and et cetera, et cetera. We'll talk about it in the debates. I don't want to just keep the mic. I know that Mandy, are you finished with Scott, by the way? Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Scott. We will give the mic to Mandy Cover for Global Partnership. She's the director, the assistant director.
Thank you very much for inviting me to be here with you today. I also realize that we are a little bit short of time. And so while this was meant to be a more granular view of the department compared to what Anne-Rochelle and I provided on Sunday, it is going to be a little bit truncated. So next slide, please, Matt. This is a graphic that you've seen before. The effort is, you know, as Phyllis and Scott have been talking, they're in they're in newer departments and additional services. As ICANN has grown, it's been able to add on new skill sets. And as all of you have built up, you have brought new skill sets into the organization. When Global Partnerships was formed in 2006, it was one of the first steps toward the internationalization of the organization by extending staff more out into the geography of the organization. And the initial conception was this was a very small form of, if you will, a diplomatic core. And the effort was to particularly target at that time those entities that were not as robustly represented within the ICANN structure. Next slide, please, Scott. So you all know the ICANN multi-stakeholder model. What is always important to remember is that large structure is all of you. That's the global volunteers. The little square over on the side in red, that's actually the staff. And all of those constituencies and specialty services have staff associated with them. If you will, sort of function-specific staffing. And many of these people now are geographically dispersed. Global Partnerships, next slide. Actually, let's skip forward to, so the difference for Global Partnerships is our work was always defined geographically, not by constituency. And particularly when we began, if you will, the contract side of ICANN, those people who were within the registrars and the registries had defined relationships with the organization and mechanisms for staffing and communication. So part of our goal was to extend the knowledge of ICANN into those non-contracted arenas. We have both internal and external responsibilities to ICANN because we are supporting the different internal departments on a geographic basis. We're also bringing the message of the regions back into the organization. So we are working on a variety of levels and on a variety of topics. Somebody asked me the other day what a typical day for a member of Global Partnerships would be, and the truth is there is no typical day. One day the person might be doing a one-on-one briefing for a new minister whose government has just reorganized the portfolios, and they are now becoming responsible for the internet, and they want to understand what ICANN's role is. Another day, they might be at a regional organization representing ICANN, but also learning the issues for the internet and for that organization so that they can bring it back to their colleagues within the organization. They do everything from assisting with technical briefings on IPv6 to negotiating exchanges of letters or affirmations of commitments with CCTLDs. In addition to having geographic responsibilities, and the goal is to have people who have the linguistic, cultural knowledge to better interpret both the message of ICANN and the concerns of the region. They all also have subject matter specific backgrounds and relational responsibilities. So I don't have the slide here, but on Sunday we showed you a slide of the internet ecosystem, all the different international organizations. So we also have staff that, in addition to representing the Middle East, representing ICANN to the Middle East and the Middle East to ICANN, they also are the primary on the relationship between ICANN and the Internet Governance Forum, or the ITU, et cetera. As the organization as a whole changes, the department also changes. ICANN as an entity has grown a great deal since 2006. You've heard about the new services, having a communication, a marketing and outreach department, having remote participation, being able to increase the tools. The staffing and the location of staffing has grown a great deal. I think I took the slide out. ICANN, as you know, uses 5 regions. If the global partnership function is fully staffed out, we would essentially have identified a 10, because it's a little bit much to have one person who represents all of Africa. That's where we are currently. The goal is to be able to work collaboratively with the community, to be able to connect people to the appropriate organizations within the multi-stakeholder model. Next slide, Matt, please. This is a link to Global Partnerships webpage, and we tend to have their upcoming activities that would tell you where there's a little précis about the department. It would give you what the upcoming meetings are. It would tell you recent activities where we had been and where staff has provided coverage. There are links to the individual staff, so you would see who was the representative for Latin America or Australasia and the Pacific Islands. There are also links to the next ICANN meetings, to the public participation link, to the various agreements webpage, because a lot of what we do are negotiating agreements with memorandums of understanding with other organizations, agreements with the CCTLDs, and one of the earliest programs that was developed out of Global Partnerships is the fellowship program, which some of you, we are very happy, are actually alumni and have come through that program. And I think, Tijani, I've probably run through. I tried to go fast so there'd be time for questions. So I will stop there. And I'm around, and I can leave cards, and we're happy to introduce you to other people and also take questions in other settings.
Thank you very much, Mandy. Thank you. One question? Two? Okay. Boudouin? And after Boudouin, Alvin Baradjo.
Yes,
my name is Toubib Boudouin. It was a very nice presentation that I enjoyed, and I was very interested in thinking about collaboration and United Nations systems, the regional opportunities in international organization, because for us, ALS, we are on location with different communities that do benefit from those institutions. And here we talk about the Internet, and the Internet is a great working tool. What are the relationship, or do you already thought in terms of relationship with those institutions? Because this is important that we are linked, to be linked with those institutions. And when we asked to develop certain programs and policies and ICANN policies, we were told, no, there's no collaboration between ICANN and those organisms and institutions. Do you have any collaborative tools? Do you collaborate with those institutions?
Merci, Baudouin. Je vais juste ajouter...
Thank you, Baudouin. I would like to emphasize what you said regarding this ICANN meeting. There was a conflict for the African ministers who wanted to come here, because there's going to be a meeting during the same period. So is there a consultation between both structures? Those are the same people at the governmental level that are interested in those meetings. So what should we do so that there are no conflicts and no situations where two meetings take place at the same time?
Let's take the question, all the questions then, and then very, you know, 1 minute
yeah,
per question.
My question is, what is the relationship between ICANN and ITU?
All right, well, I will sort of take all of these together. Okay.
Alioune Traoré, du Mali.
I'm from Mali, Mr. Traoré. And my question would be the representation of ICANN in Africa, because I feel that Africa is a little bit left alone regarding the representation of ICANN in Africa.
Okay, so I have the regional, the ties of ICANN into regional organizations and the bridge that the ALSs can provide into other non-internet, if you will, arenas, because the internet is actually a tool that can be used in a broad variety of areas. What is the relationship? How do we manage conflicts between meetings? What is the relationship with the ITU? And what are we doing to increase representation in Africa? So... And yes, I know, so I will try and go fast, but not too fast for the interpreters. So, as the ALS is, as at large has grown, as the RALOs have become more robust, and as the ALSs have increased, and part of our goals would be to help all of you increase the ALSs, that's an additional bridge. And I would hope that both through the kinds of tools that Scott's group is developing and making available, that the effort is to turn all of you into an outreach mechanism, both so that you can increase your own participation, but that you can bring in others. So we've had conversations in previous meetings. I mean, the goal would be, where are you going anyway? And can you bring ICANN's message with you? The question was raised about conflicts. ICANN does publish the location and the timing of its meetings more than a year in advance now. There are some entities that are almost perpetually meeting. There are ministers who were able to come to the high-level meeting before this one started and immediately then had to turn and go to Geneva. So I don't think it's surprising that I'm talking about the ITU. If you add in the working groups and the study groups, they are perpetually in session. Global partnerships and some of the other staff within ICANN do have working relationships with some of the ITU staff in the regional centers of excellence. We also collaborate with a number of the study groups and working groups. ICANN does not have a formal relationship with the ITU because the ITU is a member nation entity, or they have sector members. And ICANN does not become members of other entities because, I mean, on the one hand, if we become a member of one group, we have to become a member of all groups. The idea is that this is a tool that is available to everyone. We want to extend the knowledge of the Internet into all of these spaces. We have, I would say, within the Internet ecosystem, if you look at the IETF or the IAB or ISOC, or OECD, these are entities that all have coexisting roles within the Internet ecosystem. And we have more collaborative working relationships with some, like ISOC, where you have joint board meetings at the ICANN meetings between ISOC and ICANN, and many members are in both, to entities that are subject matter specific, and you would have, like WIPO, you'd have constituency people from ICANN who are also members there. The representation of ICANN within Africa, as you may be aware, ICANN is looking at increasing its its internationalization through a regionalized model. And so where we have had a single structure for many services, and I'll just take global partnerships, I won't talk about the other departments. There was a time we had a single vice president for global and strategic partnerships. ICANN is looking at moving into a regionalized model. And so if you go to the ICANN website and you look under the careers section, under the executive, you will see that there are positions for a vice president of Africa, a vice president of Asia, a vice president for Latin America, and a vice president for Europe. So those would all be adding to the executive structure of the organization with representation from those ICANN regions. As those executive structures are built out, my anticipation is that the staffing within the department would be redistributed, if you will. But ICANN has always worked in a matrix. So if you look at the organizational structure, you have the ASO and you have policy and you have constituency groups, and then you have services. So if you have the ASO and the number group, and you have SSAC and RSAC, and then you have the policy department that is supporting many, and you have global partnerships, and you have the security that runs crosswise. So global partnerships would remain both an internal and external service layer, but there would also be a regionalized structure. And I think, did I get all of them? Okay, sorry.
Merci beaucoup, Mandy.
Thank you very much, Mandy. Those are tough questions. Thank you very much for dealing with them, for your answers. We appreciate it. And we would like to suggest that ICANN collaborates more with ITU. That would be a good thing, so that we avoid those conflicts. We know that we were supposed to come to Dakar a long time ago, and ITU later on decided to put a meeting together. I think it's good to be more in touch with an organization like ITU so that we don't have those conflicts of calendar. It's very important for people to come to those ICANN meetings. Thank you, Mandy. Thank you.
Say one thing in response. Understandably, the ITU being an organization of member states and governments, it is not always possible to get them to take notice of when we have meetings scheduled. And I will say also internally, they don't always completely. When we had our meeting in Singapore, the ITU had three meetings that they were sponsoring in Singapore simultaneous to the ICANN meeting. So it wasn't even just a one-to-one conflict. They had three that they were doing. They did a specified training within the Commonwealth. It would be very nice if we did not overlap with them, but honestly, if you look at their schedule, it would be very hard to find a moment where something isn't happening. And so I think we are trying. There are conversations that take place at the various levels, and so the CEO here does speak to the Secretary General there, where I think we have been able to start those inroads is in some of the regional centers of excellence, where ICANN staff actually participate in trainings that the regional ITU center puts on. So we are reaching some of the same audience. And also, as I said, on the subject matter specific, the study groups and the working groups, for instance, around IPv6, so that we can connect members of the community and staff into the subject matter expertise that they request. But yes, it's a very important point. Point well taken.
Yeah, I just want to add about representation of Africa within ICANN picture and the multi-stakeholder model. Please note that leadership is another kind of participation within the whole system. And NOMCOM is the body that appoints leadership to ICANN in different levels, including board members. And they have a meeting today in the afternoon, and I really encourage you to go there, understand how they work. So if you're interested in that level as well, you make your moves in regards, accordingly. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Phyllis. It's very important and nice. Oh, we have to thank you all. Thank you very much for being with us here and for making these wonderful presentations very clear and very informative. And we will keep in touch,
Yeah.
We'll keep in touch. All right? So please stay with us because we're going to have a debate, around participation and
communication.
And communication. And you're our experts. Thank you. So now we're going to have a debate around participation and communication. What can we do better for AFRALO, within AFRALO, and between AFRALO and ICANN? I mean, how can we communicate better, and how can we participate better? And for this, we have, I can't hide that I'm tired.
Have you been busy, my dear?
No, I slept too much, so so this is what happened. Okay, let me switch to French. Gosh. Je sais pas où j'en suis même. So if you have your schedule,
We had Phyllis, Scott, and Mandy that we heard. We have Olivier, who's here. Somebody else who's supposed to come. She's not here. And Rachel, she's not here. We have the Vice President of ELAC with us. We have the liaison with the CCNSO. We have Alan Greenberg, our friend from Africa. And we have a liaison of ELAC with GNSO. So, without further ado, we're going to open the debate and the floor, and we heard the questions that showed us that Africa is very specific. If you want to communicate, we know we have access issues sometimes at the technical level, and we had that experience with Adigo. We had some issues with some failures to connect. Even with the telephone, it's not always easy. Telephone lines can go down. We have specific issues because of our environment, and some problems are quite specific, quite technical, and that doesn't enable us to always communicate well, to communicate in our community, and communicate with others in our respective countries. So maybe we can talk about all that. To participate, we need to communicate. That's what ICANN is all about. ICANN is all about participation, to developing policies, and debating and finding solutions. Let's talk about that. And I'm going to give the floor now to Olivier. No, not yet. Cheryl? No. Okay. So you're waiting for questions?
Thank you so much, Fatemata. My name is Cheryl Langdon Orr. That is for all of you to note, as well as for the transcript record. And you'll note that some of us say our names a lot. We say our names a lot because sometimes saying things a lot is what it takes. And if you, as a region, are going to start building a regional communication strategy, it is going to take some repetition. That repetition, however, needs to be built upon and incrementally growing towards whatever it is you wish to communicate. Let me give you an example. You, like my own region, have many, many countries on a continent. And, of course, in our case, we go across several continents through Asia Pacific. We understand diversity. And yet what ICANN wants from us, and I will refer to ICANN here as a third party, my heart is, in fact, part of ICANN. The reason I involve myself is because I believe in the multi-stakeholder model. And all of you do too. If not, there is the door. Clear enough? Therefore, I will refer to ICANN as the entity your region needs to have voice in, coordinated messages going to, as at-large structures, and you all are representatives of at-large structures. It's not just your single human voice you're bringing, it is the voice of all those you represent. What we are weaving here for an African communication policy, a set of desires, is material from many threads. Your choices need to be clear, articulated, and always transparent. You will notice at these meetings, when we go to public forum, something very odd. People who, you know, you recognise, and in fact may have been to the microphone only a moment before, will go up again, and now, let's pretend I'm just starting,
Hello. My name is Cheryl Langdonore. I'm the Vice Chair of the At-Large Advisory Committee. I'm a member of an at-large structure called Internet Society of Australia, but I'm speaking here on my own behalf. Do you see what that is saying? Right? It says, my voice coming now is Cheryl's view. Let's try that again. Good morning, Mr. Chairman. My name is Cheryl Langdonore, and I'm here as the Vice Chair of the At-Large Advisory Committee. I have with me today A, and then I go on. We see? I am now clearly saying what follows in my voice is the view not just of Africa, but of all the regions that make up ALAC. So what you, if you would care to take my sage-like wisdom for anything at all, should be looking at is the effectiveness of your communication strategy with ICANN and in and throughout Africa as weaving of a pattern. There can be clash of colour. That is okay. Gives a little brightness to the fabric. But when it comes to being used, that fabric must be resistant to tearing, must be strong, and it must be fit for purpose. So whilst, as Asia Pacific does, we have vast differences in how we feel about lots of little things, where we agree, we weave that message together effectively and we all use that message in the name of our region. And with the diversity of engagement and communication opportunities that ICANN gives us, then you've got to work out how and where to put that message. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Olivier?
Thank you very much, Fatimata. Actually, Cheryl has explained very well what the process is when addressing in a public forum, or in fact, when speaking to even to other people. There's a lot of discussion going on in between sessions, sometimes meeting people in the corridors, and often when you speak to them, you have to say, well, the view of the at-large is such and such. If a policy has been prepared for this, and if there is consensus on that. But if it's your own view, you also have to say, it's my own view. My own view is this, unrelated, of course, to the view of the at-large. It is an important thing. And in fact, we had exactly the same questions. I've just been addressing the fellows just now. We had the same question as to speaking on your own behalf or speaking on behalf of an organization, because some people don't speak on behalf of, they're not within the ICANN structure of political structure, as one could call it, but they might speak on behalf of a company. They might speak on behalf of a not-for-profit organization that takes part in the process that is not part of a community or constituency or supporting organization. But so it is important to identify yourself correctly. Of course, there is the other fact that when it's done on a conference call, it's even more difficult because you don't even see the body language, and sometimes you'll find the body language is slightly different. People who make their own comments during the public forum usually have hands in their pockets and speak quite freely. Others have to read statements, and so you'll see they're carrying computers around and reading line by line on the computer. Others take it from a piece of paper, the advantage of the piece of paper being that it could be a short comment. Well, when it's on the computer, it's sometimes lost for a very, very long time. I wanted to add one more, just a small thing, which is the idea of consensus. I think consensus is a word that you will hear being used a lot at ICANN. It's the way that ICANN works. Voting on issues is really something, is really the last resort. First, you have to talk to each other and try to find if you can find a consensus, an agreement that will effectively avoid going into one extreme or another extreme and reflect the middle ground that everyone can agree on. And that's something that is particularly important because in many, many cases, it's very hard to achieve consensus. In the at-large structure, with the at-large advisory committee being responsible for issuing statements, statements to the board or statements on public comment periods, consensus has to have been achieved prior to any statement being released. If consensus is not achieved, then no matter if you have spent months working, there is no statement. And that sometimes gets frustrating, especially if the views of different regions might be different. So what you might have is consensus in one region, but no consensus across the regions, which therefore makes it unsuitable for an at-large advisory committee statement to be released. And that can be very frustrating for a region because that region thinks its voice is not being heard. Now, the region has the choice of being able to do, if there is consensus in the region, of being able to make a regional statement. So AFRALO would make an AFRALO statement and release that statement. But it would just be seen as there was consensus achieved in that region. There was no consensus achieved in the ELAC. And that's something which I find frustrates people sometimes. Some regions are more proficient at reaching consensus that is not reachable across all regions, and they get frustrated. That's one thing. The second thing I wanted to say was that traditionally, at-large's main activity really has been to respond to public comments that are sent out there. So it's a case of we wait for a comment period to open, and then we would, as a community, we would react to the subject basically and release a statement. What I think, and this is my personal view, but I think that it might be echoed widely held. But we haven't really discussed it as a consensus thing, because there is a working group that is about to start working on that, the Future Challenges Working Group. But it's a case of being more proactive. In other words, if a region thinks that there is an issue that is important to be discussed in the ICANN, then that region, or even an ALS, I think, an at-large structure, can contact its region and can bring this discussion to the table of the region. If consensus is achieved there, that region can take it to the ALAC. If consensus is achieved there, the ALAC can push it forward into the overall ICANN process. And it does not need to be a response to a public comment. You have to remember, the at-large advisory committee is an advisory committee. So it can provide advice on everything and anything related to ICANN at any time, in a comment period, before a comment period, after a comment period. That's up to it to choose it. And so although during comment periods the board is more likely to listen directly to the comments being sent because it actually is dealing with this specific subject at that specific time, if you miss the window of opportunity, it is always possible to send a statement afterwards. But it's best practice to send it during the comment period on the specifics. So that's what I wanted to add on that. But when a comment gets sent out under the at-large advisory committee, it is a consensus of the whole community. Yes, a few people might disagree, but it's not the majority that is disagreeing.
Merci, Olivier. Très bien.
Thank you, Olivier. It's very clear. It's very well said. I will give the mic to Tijani, who will say a few words on the participation and communication. Thank you, Tijani. Thank you, Fatimata. ICANN has been using a system from the grassroots up. I'm going to start from the bottom with the ALS communication. If we want to have a good strategy, we have to start by trying to have this good strategy of communication inside the ALS. our mission is to bring information that we receive in emails that we get during the monthly session, monthly meeting. Our mission is to give this information to our base and then to collect their requests, their demand, their questions, their problems, to bring them back up to Oralo. Donc, then it's very essential to have this communication. If we're missing a link in between, we would not have a strategy of communication that would be accurate and good. By then, the communication between the RALO and the ALS must go both ways. Unilateral communication is not good. It does not function. Because if the ERLO is not informed from the ALS, from their issues, their questions, their recommendation from the ALS, the ERLO does not have a function. And in the other way around, if the RALO does not give the information and the strategies that are being discussed to the ALS, it fails to its mission. So obviously, the communication does not work. Now, the RALO as well has the duty to communicate with ALAC. This is his mission, its mission. And at this level, communication has to be bilateral. If the RALO does not give the right information that came from the ALS to ALAC, ALAC will not be able to know what the issues of the regions are. And the other way around, if RALO does not give the information and the strategies and the discussions and the discussion points to ICANN through ALAC, and if it's this information not given to ALS, it just fails in its mission. So communication has to be bilateral, and I think communication must be good at all levels. Now, participation. I think that if the region does not participate to the activities of ICANN, all communication, all that we do is not worth anything. Because for us, the essential thing is to make the voice of Africa heard, the voice of our regions heard. And this can only be done through participation. I mean, participation in discussion of strategy issues, politic issues that are raised by ICANN, and participation in workshop, in work groups, in public comment, very important public comments. Participate in public comment. We have an AFLO statement that concerned geographical region. We were clearly asked that the region of Africa should not be fractioned, should not be touched by this modification, and it was taken in account. We also participated through the operation plan and through the budget. We prepared a budget last year, I remember. We collected all the information from the ALS. We prepared our own budget, our own plan of operation. In my opinion, RALO did that. I hope and I wish that all of ALS could publicly comment. It's open to everyone, and the public comment is the mean to influence on decision-making. So it means that Africa will be taken into account in ICANN decision. This is what we are wishing. This is what we want to do. In summary, in conclusion, communication and participation is the link, essential link in all of our work. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Tijani. I would like to add something. Our preoccupations that we talk about with ALAC from the RALO enables us to have an exchange and for the RALO to understand what's going on in our region and vice versa. Thank you very much. I'm going to give the floor now to Alan.
I'm going to start off by disagreeing with my good friend and our chair, Fatimata. Half. Fatimata mentioned that there are a lot of unique things about Africa and a lot of unique problems. And of course there are. There are physical communication problems and there are language problems. But I find as I go around the world, and I've worked a lot in Africa, Southeast Asia, the Americas, Europe, and regardless of whether I'm in Rwanda or Mozambique or Sri Lanka or Germany or Sweden, somewhere along the time, often several times, someone will say to me, here we do things differently. It may be the food we're eating. It may be the way our government works. It all over the place. And I have to look at them and say, no. You know, I was having dinner in Rwanda, and along with the meat was a big pile of cooked cornmeal. And they said, we eat cornmeal here. You won't be familiar with this. And I said, oh, yes, I will, because it's one of my national dishes from my family who came from Romania. And if you come from Italy, you would have said the same thing. And it's true in so many ways. And much of what I'm going to say is true everywhere. If you think you're having difficulties communicating and outreaching, you are. Of course you are. We have the same problems in Canada. It's difficult. As was mentioned earlier, we talk in a funny language here that no one understands. We are talking about subjects that are really complex. Everyone in this room, if you're here, you're probably intelligent and interested, and it's still difficult. And you're going to walk away from this week not understanding everything you heard, not understanding most of what you heard. I'm sorry, Cheryl, that's probably true. If you're understanding everything, put your hand up and we're going to take you and use you very well, because you're a very unique person. I'm well known in ICANN. I've been around ICANN for 5 years, and I'm well known to be an expert on a lot of things. And people often on their first meeting here come and ask me, you know, how do you do that? And my answer is relatively simple, and I'm going to tell you my secret. I start listening, and I don't talk if I don't understand it, but then I go home and do some research. Yes. And I start reading. And then I'll come back and start asking questions quietly. And after a while, magically, I seem to be the expert. Now, I'm not a technical expert. Once, many, many years ago, I was a technical expert. It was before the internet. The things that are required are, first, and Cheryl alluded to this, I'm not sure she used the word, you need passion. If you believe in what we're doing, even if you don't understand how to do it, that is an important component. You then have to start accumulating enough knowledge about some aspect of what we're doing. In all the things you've heard this week, if there is something that was really interested in you, go back to your hotel room if you have internet there, or go back home and start reading about it. Find some group within ICANN, whether it's a working group or something else that's talking about what you're doing, and join the mailing list if you can. Start listening. Start contributing. It's going to be very difficult to get other people in your country and in your region involved in ICANN. We all understand how difficult it is to make that jump. You're going to be the way that happens. And that will only happen if you believe in it enough and have become a semi-expert in some area, or if not an expert, at least interested. Because then you'll be able to do the translation. And by translation, I mean not only from English to French or English to a local language, but also ICANN to human being language. Okay. You're part of the connection. It's not ICANN throwing more money into translation that will fix this problem. It's you. So get involved in a small way. If you've come out of this week saying, that was an interesting week and Senegal is interesting, but doesn't mean anything to me, then I guess you were the wrong person to come. And that's not a bad thing. Not everyone is interested in living ICANN and putting, as Cheryl and I do, and Olivier do, and I think Tijani, put a significant part of our life into ICANN, giving up other things. If you have other interests this year in your life, that's fine. But if you have the passion, then you're one of the ways that you're going to communicate with other people, slowly get other people involved, translate it into a language that means something to them, and slowly it happens. And as different as Africa is, and it is delightfully different in many ways, the basic problems we're having are the same everywhere. And so, you know, you can feel good about your uniqueness, but you're not alone in trying to address these problems. They're very common, just like cornmeal is. And we'll help you all you can. There are plenty of people here who get no more thrill than having someone else who's succeeding somewhere else in the world. So you know where we are. You have all our email addresses. Let us help, but go home and do good work. Thank you.
That's very nice, Alan. Thank you very much. Alan, I don't think I said we were unique, but I said we have specific needs. Can you tell me one country in another region that has more than 200 spoken languages?
No, I'm sorry. I was just trying to be argumentative to begin with.
Let
me answer. Africa is very unique in many ways, but many of the problems that we suffer from, people think are more unique than they are. And yes, I can tell you, I can also share with you some interesting stories in which Africa is very unique. I found it fascinating that in Mozambique, languages which are only spoken by a few thousand people might be represented in three or four different ways in the written version. That's unique. Okay. But there are many things that are common also.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Alan. Vraiment, il faudrait saluer l'invitation de Alan.
Yes, this is very good. Alan is very available to all of us, and we can all work together, and this is a good thing. They can help us out to understand. I'm going to give the floor to Cheryl, then to Didier Peters and Baudouin.
Fatemata, Cheryl Langdonor for the transcript record, and I cannot help it, especially because I love a debate. Fatemata, my country, Australia, has far more than 200 languages spoken by our original inhabitants. There is well in excess of 2,500 dialects in the Aboriginal community. So, and they are an oral community. There is necessarily no written records in some of these languages, and the maintenance of language is essential. So, actually, yes, I can. Australia.
Thank you. This is, you know, we learn a lot of things when you come together. Thank you. DJ.
My question would be a question, a comment for Alan. Alan said something which was very important. Here, very few of us can say that we understand everything. That shows how difficult it is for end users. We're supposed to represent end users, and it's very difficult for those end users. We have to find a strategy. This is very cool, very, very hard for them to understand. We have to help them out. We have to involve them in the decision process. They say everybody should participate and have a voice. You have to understand first, and the processes are pretty complex. And that's what Alan explained to us. I don't know how to do it, but we have to find a way to help out, to help the end users, to get them interested, to be passionate about something, you have to be interested in something. The end users wants to send an email, go to Facebook and say, I am beautiful and show lots of personal pictures, and he doesn't want to get too tired about what ICANN is taking care of. So this is a challenge, I think. I don't know how to do it, but we have to think about it.
Merci, Didier.
Thank you very much, Didier. Peters and Baudouin. We're dealing with all the questions, and then we'll have the answers, okay? Because we don't have much time left, so that's how we're going to work, about 10 minutes. So we'll answer your questions very soon, but the floor is Peters and Baudouin.
Mine is just comment. And I also want to quickly appreciate this very forum. I mean, in the history of ICANN, this is the first time we're having an interaction like this, and especially this debate that we're having. My comment has to do with just making an appeal to the members of AFRALU. Africa is large, and it's as other sub-regions, and then we have so many languages, we have so many tribes, and our attitudes and reactions to situations are different. Sometimes we will make contributions with the best of intent. It is not to put anyone down. So if we must move forward as Africans in AFRALU, we must learn to appreciate contributions that are made by everybody without taking it personal. I must be very, very frank that in as much as I enjoyed being part of this program and the process leading to this program in the course of our planning, I mean, those of us who were involved in the teleconferences would have also observed the frustrations that I expressed in the course of our discussions. It wasn't because I wanted to be very, very difficult, but it was just a way of one trying to express himself to see how best we could make this happen. And so in situations like this, it is very important that, yes, as Africans and as one body, we must appreciate the contributions that are coming from every angle. That is just the best way I feel we can move forward. And I also want to clearly say a big congratulations to the leaders that have made this happen, and I hope we'll go better than this in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Peters. Baudouin?
I'm going to be a little bit more brief, but I'm not, when it comes to strategy and communication mechanism, that's where I want to go first. I think the difficulties that we have with the ELS in the countries is to have, first of all, the feedback from people. It takes time. We have, for example, 4 mailing lists, and we are trying to think today about communicating through televisions and radio to be able to reach more people, to be able to explain more, to reach more people. It will make our work easier. What I would like to ask to you, the global partnership, participation, commitment, is to make our work easier, help us communicate with the public, have more feedback, because of emails, we have difficulties, there are connection problems, electricity problems, technical problems at many levels. So in order to be fast and respect the calendar, the timeline, It would be good if you could ease our communication, mass communication, to be able to get feedbacks faster. This is a proposition that I'm making now. And the difficulties we have as well is that sometimes with the providers, for us, for example, it's difficult to exchange with provider. Sometimes there's like we have a problem communicating with them. We don't have a technical community council that can help us with those difficulties. At a local level, we could there is no communication. So a proposal for us, in order for us to be effective, we should be able to communicate with mass communication, with like TV and radio. That would make our communication faster. This is what I want to propose to you.
Bon, c'est Fatimata.
I know that I never say my name, but I am Fatimata. Next time, please speak a little slower for the interpreter. Thank you. And now I'm going to give the mic to Scott so he can respond to Didier and also to Baudouin, who was pretty much speaking in the same terms. Olivier, it's Fatimata. Yes, Olivier. Thank you. This is Olivier Crépin-Leblanc. Baudouin put his finger on it.
Oh. One way. It's not only within Afralo. It's not only from Afralo to ALAC and from ALAC to all of ICANN. It's also communication going out. It goes in both directions. And this is why I often refer to all of our ALSs and members to be ambassadors. Because that's what ambassadors do. They represent the organization in their local community. They have information that they give to the local community, so the local community understands what is going on. But at the same time, they also listen to the local community and they bring it back into ICANN. So I think that bridges over to Scott, because Scott provides the means for the ambassadors to reach the local community, to have the material that they can distribute and give to the local community. And if the material that is given to the local community is not the right material, then the information will not pass. So you have to speak to Scott and tell him what you need. And he has to also tell you what he currently has available to you for you to be able to do your ambassador job as such. Thank you.
Yes. Fatimata, merci Olivier. Donc je passe la parole à Scott pour répondre au...
I'm going to give the mic to Scott so he can answer the questions that are related to communication, because I think those were the principal questions.
ICANN is a bottom-up organization. So it is not for me to tell you, here's what you should be saying. It is for you to tell me what your plan is to get the word out. So if you think the best way in your region is radio, create a plan for creating a radio show. I will get you microphones. I will get you recording gear. We'll make a radio show. If your plan is that you need brochures, write your brochure, put it together, we'll help you if you want. We will pay to print it. But the plan has to come from you. Make a bold plan, because it's better to have a big target and miss it a little bit than have a medium target and hit it. We'd love to help, but we're looking for the plan to originate with you, because, frankly, I'm a stupid American. I don't know your culture, but you do, and I have a good heart. I'll help you.
Thank you. Fatimata, merci beaucoup, Scott.
Merci beaucoup. Thanks, Scott. As usual, very practical, very straight to the point. Cheryl would like to add something before I bring the mic back to Michelle and to Aziz. Thank you.
Fatimata, it's Cheryl Langdonor for the transcript record. This is an example of exactly what Scott is referring to. This is the work of the African region. It is a simple, plain language document that if you do not know every word of, and you cannot expand both for a short version and a long version on every matter in there, I don't know why, because this is a tool. You may give these away, you can have them locally reproduced, they're PDFs. If you're going to speak at a function, print 20 of them off if it's 20 people. If it's 200, take the URL along on little plain cards and say print them off yourself. That's just one example of what some people felt would meet African regional needs. Scott, you would have no problem with however many versions of this on however many
particular topics, I'm sure, or am I leading you astray here?
Merci, merci, Cheryl. Fatimata.
Thank you, Cheryl. This is Fatimata. We have the brochures here in three languages, in French, English, and Arabic. No Spanish? Oh, here for three languages, not so bad. I'm going to give... Okay. There are more things to talk about. I'm going to bring Olivier back to the... You are the boss, Olivier, but you have less than one minute. Thank you, Fatimata.
Been asked in a truly bottom of fashion. I have been asked to quickly speak about the at-large pages, the RALO pages, the AFRALO pages. As at-large structures, you can make use of an Adobe Confluence page where you can conduct meetings and you can actually have the virtual desktop that is used for all AFRALO meetings. This can be used for your communication if you need to conduct such meetings, such electronic meetings in your region. You can ask for, it's there for you to use. You also have a wiki, okay, which is there for you to use. Each one of you has some space on the wiki and can expand on your pages and use those pages to reach your community. So you can see it at the moment, it's on the screen. And for example, here, ISOC Sudan, and you have the presentation of the at-large structure, but that page can also be used to add your local information. This is not information which was supplied by ICANN or which was supplied by the at-large advisory committee. This was information supplied by you, by the ALS. And so it's very important that you keep this updated, and it's very important that you make use of these resources. Same thing for every time you need some help in this logistic department, ask your RALO, and you will probably be given additional ways of reaching your people. We're here to help. Was that under a minute?
Yeah, but Fatimata.
Oui. Yeah, Alan. Alan wants to say a few words as well. Two words, three words, Alan.
One comment in response to Didier, and then something in relation to what Scott was saying. I think ICANN often uses the wrong words with respect to at-large. Our job is not to communicate with the 2 billion users and feed their opinions back. Our job is to speak on behalf of the 2 billion users. Most of the 2 billion users, including all of my family, don't care. They don't know what these words are, they don't know what the DNS is, and don't need to know. We need to represent them and represent their needs. And to the very small percentage of those 2 billion users who have an interest, we need to find them and work with them so that they can participate in the process. You know, but you're right, most people who use Facebook don't care. And it's good that way. It's a sign that we're doing a good job if they don't care. And that's important. A comment with respect to what Scott said. I will relay a very small story. On my first meeting here, we met with certain representatives from ICANN who I don't remember, so I won't name. And we said what we need to communicate in our regions, in places where the internet often doesn't even exist and certainly is very not common, we need radio programs we can broadcast. And we need things we can say in that kind of a very short yes. And their answer was, we don't do that. That's not our business. We don't really care about trying to educate the common man. We're here to worry about the DNS. And I am absolutely delighted to hear that that has changed. Thank you.
Oui, merci. Je sais qu'il y en a.
Thank you. I know that there are people that are on the list. We have to stop the meeting because there is a meeting that starts at 9. I know that Aziz had a question. It's not right that you give the mic to Olivier and Alan, but not us. I'm going to, but we will talk about it later. Okay, all right, go ahead, because he's going to be mad. He's going to be mad. Aziz, no, no, Michelle, Aziz, okay. No more than 1 minute, please. I gave 1 minute to Olivier. Okay, no more discussions. That's it. Thank you, Fatimata. I want to say here, I want to say thank you to the team, the marketing team. If you can remember, years ago when we had the idea about the capacity replacement, it was not very easy. I want to encourage the people that really, really worked. We worked really hard. If I had been in her place, I would have let it go. So she really did a great job. So for the following, we talked about communication and the marketing. There is communication within the medias, the local medias, but we have to think about the following, the reinforcement of capacities that we started today. Here, I would like to propose that we think about the organization of meetings sub-regional. They constitute moments of communication within the country where they are organized. At that moment, communication support are really well used. Thank you. I'm going to stop the mic. Thank you, Michelle. We're going to go to Aziz now. Thank you, Fatimata. When I asked for the mic, it was because of the exchange, the debate between Didier, Baudien, Olivier, etc. I just wanted to give an example when it comes to ALS, their intervention in their country, their own country. Can you hear me? Put your earphones on. Put your earphones on. Okay, I just wanted to give an example, the examples that we could implement in our countries. My ALS, for example, we organized in Morocco meetings about, first of all, we wanted to define what the ICANN was, what a draw was, what the end results would be, and we invited the media. There were articles that were written about the new GTL days, about the result, the things that could happen when it comes to the country, the religion, the culture, etc., especially of the DNS, and we are trying to write a letter right now. It's not very expensive, that we will write to the mayor of the big cities to tell them, be careful. Don't tell us later that your domain name was stolen. Just make sure you know now. We also do that for the head of businesses. There are names that belong to you now, but that might belong to other people tomorrow, so you have to act now. Thank you. It's a very good example. All the participants here today could get close to Aziz and ask him about details regarding the organization of such event. This cost us $3,000. Thank you. Thank you. We will talk about all this among us. Thank you, Aziz. There is a mailing list that will be created in order for us to discuss more between each other and to talk about it, to talk about what follows. And, of course, to continue the debate, I have a couple of announcements to make. We have a lunch with the directoire, the board of directors of ICANN. There's only one representative per ALS that is invited. One represented for each ALS. If an ALS has two representatives, only one can go. The ALS that were invited, those of you who are here, one representative per ALS. It's from 12 to 1. No. They're already, okay. I'm reading the note that was given to me. It looks like the list was already chosen. So where's the list?
me, Gisela has worked off the list of sponsored ALS representatives. So the 19 names that Afralo put forward,
yes,
they are the names we put. So it's you don't get to choose between you and someone else at an ALS. And that's what it said in my ears. Okay.
Okay, I just got this list and I was asked to read it, so... I was just reading. Thank you. Donc, l'autre point, j'espère que là aussi ça va être correct. Il y a l'Assemblée générale.
The General Assembly is in a flamboyant... Okay, the lunch is at a flamboyant room. General Assembly is from 2 to 4 p.m. in this room. And then the Afalo Afrenet meeting will be from 4 to 7. So we will stay here, this room, starting at 2. Okay. Now it's 18. Now it's, okay, 5:30, 6 o'clock. If we finish at 5:30, that will be good. Okay, then now, without further ado, it will be the meeting of the secretaries of RALO, the leaders of RALO, the meeting that will take place now when it comes to this room. But you are more than welcome to participate and stay, to participate as well as observators. Those are the boards of RALO that will meet in this room right away. And you are invited to participate as observators, those who are not members of the board. Thank you very much. Thank you to all the experts that were here today and reinsured us and told us that we would not be any problem, that we will participate, communicate as we wish, and congratulations to all.
Si je peux rappeler donc pour.
If I can tell you for the lunch today, it's very important that you all come because I talked to many board members yesterday. They are very happy to meet you. They want to meet you. They have a very busy week, really, really, really busy. And not all communities within ICANN has the right or the privilege to be able to have a lunch with them. So you can spend one hour with them. There are strategic positions on the table for you. I hope that you can really, really have interaction with the members of the board. They have very few opportunities to talk to the people that represent the community of ICANN. So we'll see you at lunch.
You are at the table and you are not a regional secretariat. Perhaps you might consider taking a back seat. The table is now for the regional secretariat's meeting, so if you are not a regional secretariat, you are welcome to stay in the room, but please retire to a back seat. Merci beaucoup.